Please turn with me in the Word of God to Matthew's Gospel and to chapter 6. Matthew's Gospel and chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. I'm going to read from the 19th verse. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19 to the end of the chapter. And this portion of scripture is all concerning the same thing. So it runs together. And we'll be explaining some parts of that. But if we read it, if you can try and catch the thread of what is being said, then that may benefit us as we consider it together. This is a motto text which I've taken for Linslade this year. I usually preach our motto text here at some point. And so that's what I'm going to do tonight. It was going to be next week, but now it's this week. So we're starting at verse 19, which says this: "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, that what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air. For they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God, and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." Amen. We thank the Lord for this reading of his word. Again, let's unite our hearts in prayer and ask the Lord's help. Our Father, we come before thee because this word is a living word, and we seek not to come to it with a dead heart, but we come, Lord, that we might be strengthened and enlivened, that we might be quickened by thy Spirit, Lord, that thou wouldst speak to a living soul and not one dead in trespasses and sins. Oh, Father, we pray that we might not leave this house tonight having learned nothing, having heard nothing. How frightening that would be. And that we should leave this house and have not felt the touch of the Lord, not heard the voice of the Lord, as though we were dead, as though there was nothing of life about us. Lord, speak to us, we pray thee. Encourage us in the way. Teach us, instruct us, and bless us. Lord, we pray that each one might know that blessing which comes from heaven above. Lord, thou art able to speak in a real way, for thou art not a God of wood or of stone. Thou art not a God of man's invention, but thou art the God who chooseth us, and not we choosing thee.
Lord, as thou dost choose us, thou wilt reveal thyself to us also. So speak, we pray thee. Lord, if there be any in this service who cannot hear thee, who are indeed deaf, who are indeed blind, who are indeed dead in trespasses and sins, O Lord, heal them, we pray thee, for thou art a God of healing, and as we read from the 103rd Psalm, who healeth all thy diseases. Lord, we pray that thou wilt so work, that thou wilt be glorified in our midst tonight. Bless our souls. Give me the words that I should speak. Receive the glory unto thyself, for these are thy words. Lord, we pray that we might look into them and that we might see the power of our God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Here, the Lord is speaking in the Sermon on the Mount, and he's speaking to the people who are gathered round about him. But he speaks to them concerning the treasures of earth. Really, the overview of what is being said here is concerning the flesh and the spirit. And these are the two masters, God and Mammon. Now, the flesh seeks the things of the flesh. And whether you're a Christian, whether you're not, you will know that this is true. We desire things which are nice for the flesh, things which are pleasurable, things which are make life easier, things which are more comfortable for us. The flesh always desires those things. Even if we're Christians, we still have that aspect to us that desires things to be as easy as they can be and to be as nice as they can be. But the Lord is warning against laying up for ourselves treasures upon earth and seeking to serve two masters. So living a worldly life, but at the same time seeking to be Christians, seeking to be godly. And the warning which the Lord Jesus Christ gives to us is this: you can't do it. It's not possible. It's quite a stark warning when we think of it in that way. If we are living in a worldly way in this life, then we are not walking with God. The two ways that the Lord speaks of here in verse 24, when he says, no man can serve as a bondslave, the word there serve is a bondservice. No man can serve two masters. He says, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Now there are two things here, and sometimes we get them confused and put them into one and think that they are sort of written in parallel, but they're not written in parallel. For he says, of two masters, either we will hate one and love the other. That really describes the world, those who are unsaved, because they hate God. They hate God and they love the world. They love the flesh. They love the things of the world. But they have no interest in God whatsoever. And so they are serving a master, and that master is the flesh. That master is the old nature. That master is death, destruction. That master will destroy them. And they hate the one who can save them, which is God. Remember how the Lord Jesus in John's Gospel speaks to the scribes and the Pharisees and talks about them going about to kill him. And they said, you have a devil, we're not going around to kill you. But it was very clear that they hated him. And he says in another place that they that hate me, they hate my Father also. So that's one aspect here. But if you're a Christian here tonight, then the other one applies. For it says, or else, there in the middle of the verse, either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Now we use the word despise in a sense which means to look down upon, to sneer at, and to consider to be unworthy of our attention. That's the way we sort of think of the word despise. But in actual fact, the word despise here, and indeed in English, in one of its senses, is just to neglect. Just to neglect. And what the Lord is saying is that we will either hold to the one and neglect the other. And if we are laying up for ourselves treasures upon earth and we are seeking to make our lives as comfortable as they can be and to have everything that we want in this life, then Jesus says, you cannot serve two masters. If you are doing that, then you are neglecting God. You are despising God. You are setting him aside. And you might say, but we pray. But we come to the services and we think about him.
but he's not in all your thoughts.
The things that you seek aren't being sought for him. He is not the desire of your heart. The desire of your heart is whatsoever you can get your hands on in this world. You're laying up for yourself treasures here, Jesus says. And you will hold to the one and neglect the other. You cannot, he says, you cannot serve God and mammon. And there's the second statement. It confirms the statement. Verse 24, no man can serve two masters. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Not this very difficult. Remember how that the rich young ruler came to Jesus and fell down at his feet and said, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? Jesus told him what to do, sell the things that he had, give away to the poor, and when he had done that, take up his cross and follow him, and he went away sad. And Jesus said, how hardly shall a rich man enter into the kingdom of heaven? How hardly, it's difficult. It is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle, he said, than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. It is easier. How hardly? It's not impossible. But here, he is not saying this is difficult. He is saying it is not possible. If you are seeking the world, you are neglecting God. Or you love the world and you hate God. Those are the two options. Where do we stand tonight? Of course, there in verse 19, he begins the whole of this part of the discourse by saying, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth. And then it says there in verse 22 verse 23, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Here's another complicated thing for us to look at, and there are many people who have read this and thought, well, my eye is not evil, because evil is wickedness, is the worst possible thing. You go to the Old Testament, you'll find it speaks there about evil things. It's not talking about moral evil, it's just speaking about bad things. Here, the word evil means, it comes from a root which means to toil, to work, to labour after something. And what Jesus is saying here is that if you have a single eye, if you have one thing to look at, one thing to concentrate on, and if that one thing that you concentrate on is the Lord Jesus Christ, your eye is single and your whole body is full of light. That's what you want. You want Christ. You desire Christ and you love him. If your eye is single, that's what you're after. But if you are toiling for the things of the world, there are many things you want. Everything is conflicted. Do you want this? Do you want that? Are you trying to serve God and you're trying to serve mammon? And you're over here at the house of God trying to find a blessing for yourself. And then you're out there in the world trying to work hard and get this and get that. And then you're back in the house of God looking for a blessing. You haven't read your Bible a week because you've been too busy working and doing things in the house. But now you're back in the house of God. Lord, bless me. Be with me. But then we don't have time for him during the week because we've got so much else to do. And you're conflicted. And there is a darkness. And he says, if therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Filled with toil. And the verse which I want to bring to your attention is that very well-known verse 33. And this really is the key to the portion. For he says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Now, in the way that I brought this forth today, I've sort of forgotten about the notes, but some of you take notes. So let's just go over the thought again. The basic premise is this, but, verse 33, but, seek ye first the kingdom of God. What does he say? Don't worry about the things of the world. Verse 25, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. And he goes into a discourse, asks many questions, and tells them to consider different things. And then he comes to the end of that, and he says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God." Or, "But you seek first the kingdom of God. Take no thought for the things of the world, but you seek first the kingdom of God." That's what you need to do. So the basic premise is, but there are two alternatives, two masters, the world and the Lord Jesus, or God, and heaven, the kingdom of heaven, and righteousness, which is contained here. There is one actuality. The actuality is that no man can serve two masters. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Don't fool yourself. Don't tell yourself you can. You cannot. That's what Jesus says. It's not possible. And God knows what is possible and what is not possible. And he is saying to the people here, it is not possible. So for you, seek first the kingdom of God. And there is one authority, as we have said already, where it says there in verse 24, no man can serve as a bondman two masters. Either he will hate the one, love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. There is one authority. What is the authority in your life? What is it that you live for? Someone asked the question. I thought it was quite a good way of putting this. I can't remember who it was. Carol was telling me about it, and I can't remember quite who it was. But nevertheless, the question was this. If you could do anything in the world, and you were completely free to do it, you had an indulgence, not from the Church of Rome, but an indulgence from God. He says, you can do anything, I will forgive you, I will forget about it. You have a whole day, anything you want to do. Any sin you want to commit, any crime you want to do, any lust you want to fulfill, whatever it may be in your life that you want to do, you have one day, you can do that, and I won't take it on any notice whatsoever. There will be no condemnation. Nobody will find out about it. Be no recriminations. Anything you like. And he said, what comes first into your mind? Because that's the place where the devil will seek to overthrow you. What are the things which come first to our mind? Do we seek first the kingdom of God? Is the first thing that comes to your mind or to my mind? That I might stand in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Talk to him. Just converse with him. Get my questions answered. Know his blessing. See him work. Hear him speak. Look upon his face. Is that the first thing that came to your mind? Or is there some lust? Is there some desire? Is there something of this world? Jesus says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. There is one authority. What is the authority over your life? Is it the world? Is it the flesh? Or is the authority God? Have you yielded to him? Secondly, the best practice. The best practice. Because Jesus says here in the 33rd verse, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek ye first. So the best practice is an active search. Seek ye. Seek ye the kingdom of God. How do we seek the kingdom of God? Well, we seek the kingdom of God in the Word of God. We seek it by reading the Word of God, by meditating upon the Word of God. We seek it by praying over the Word of God. We seek it by seeking to put into practice the commands of the Word of God. Jesus says, if ye love me, keep my commandments. There are many who say, well, we're not under law, we're under grace, we can do what we like. Jesus kept all the commandments. And if your Lord kept all the commandments, what on earth makes you think you don't need to? If Jesus Christ is under the law, why do we think, well, he's kept the commandments, I can be a sinner as much as I like? Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Do what I have said. Walk with me. There's an active search. Are we seeking after the Lord? Are we seeking first the kingdom of God?
Is it our first thought in the morning as we awake to pray and say to the Lord, Lord, bless me today? Is it to sit down with the Word of God? To even if it's just to take a verse and think about it while you're preparing your breakfast? Are you able to get up and to think in that way about the Lord rather than get up at the last minute and rush out? I remember in my youth, I used to start work at 8 o'clock. I used to get up at 10 to 8. I didn't eat breakfast. I went out trying to start the car. In those days, it was one of the wonderful things when it did actually start. And then I'd get my bike out and cycle to work. And I could do it in about 5 minutes. So I'd arrive at work, 2 or 3 minutes past, ready to work. I hadn't a thought of opening my Bible first. Why not? Well, because I'd been up the night before reading a book. I used to read to 2 or 3 in the morning, reading my book. And it wouldn't be the Bible, it would just be a book. And what was first? What was commanding my life? It wasn't Christ. But our best practice is to seek the Lord and to seek Him first. It is an applied service too that we have here, this best practice. An applied service, applied because we are seeking Him first. So there's an application here. We are applying ourselves to seek first the kingdom of God. And it has to be real in our minds. We have to actually think to ourselves, I need to serve God. I need to seek out the Lord. I need to search Him out. I need to find Him. Before I do anything else, let me be sure that the Lord is with me. Let me do that first. So it's an applied service, but it's also a service because Jesus says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. What is a kingdom? We live in the United Kingdom, but what is a kingdom? It is the domain of a king. Or to slide back down the word a little bit more, it is the dominion of the king. And you see, as a Christian, then we are under the dominion of Christ. He dominates us, or should do. Going back to verse 24 once again, no man can serve as a bondman to masters. We are bondmen of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul uses that word all the way through these epistles. Not just a house servant, but a bond slave. Doulos is the word in the Greek. A bond slave of Jesus Christ. That's what he says over and over again. A bond slave of Jesus Christ. Why? Because Jesus Christ in his life had dominion. He dominated him. And he was willing to do whatsoever the Lord gave him to do. He sought first, not just the Lord, because we can seek the Lord in some kind of a friendly relationship, but he sought the Lord as a king. We are seeking first the kingdom, the dominion of the king. We are seeking to put ourselves under him as his servants. We are saying to the Lord, Lord, what would you have me to do? We've said this before. I've said this before from this pulpit and the other pulpit too in Linslade. And that is that so many Christians and people who think they're Christians, and they think of God as being someone who does what they want him to do. And so we go to God and we pray and we say to God, Lord, I need this or I need that, or do this for me or help that person. And we have a great big long shopping list. Why is that? Because, you see, the heart of man is, and we find it throughout the scripture, that the heart of man is, we are the dominator and we want a genie and we can rub the lamp and he'll pop out and answer all our requests. This is the God we want. Moses goes up into Mount Sinai. God writes down the commands for him. He comes back out. What have the people have done? They have gone to Aaron. They say, Aaron, up make us gods that will go before us. Because as for this Moses, we don't know what happened to him. They weren't willing to wait for God. They weren't willing to wait for God's command to tell them what to do. They had to be forced to do that. When God did tell them what to do and said, go up and possess the land, they said, we're not going up there. There's giants in the land. There's great walled cities. We're not going up there. But they expected God to do everything that they wanted. It's the basis of idolatry, isn't it?
We make idols, we make gods for ourselves, which do what we want them to do. And some, even those who profess the name of Christ, say, well, I prayed and God didn't answer me, so I don't believe anymore. And the challenge then to some such as that is to say, well, what did God tell you to do, and did you do it? Is he not in dominion? Is he not the king? Are you not the servant? Jesus says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And there's an aspiring saintliness. The best practice, an aspiring saintliness. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Righteousness. We are seeking to be righteous. What is righteousness? Righteousness is keeping the commandments. Righteousness is doing what is right. How do we know what is right? God has told us what is right. This is what we must do. And if we do those things, then that's righteousness. We are seeking his righteousness. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, he says. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth. Moth and rust corrupt them. Thieves break through and steal them. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And finally, the blessed promise in this verse. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What things? Verse 31. What shall we eat? What shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? After all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things, and all these things shall be added unto you. What is it that we need in this world? God will give it to us when we need it. He will supply the need. It will be given to us when we seek first the kingdom of God. Do we lose out by choosing him over another master? Do we lose out if we love God and hate the world? Do we lose out if we hold to God and despise the world? But we lose nothing. That's the amazing thing about this. It's not that we lose something if we choose God, if we walk after him, if we seek him and his kingdom and his righteousness. It's not that we lose out. Indeed, we have all of those things too. And yet the world, and many who even profess the name of Christ, seek the world, and they lose out because they may gain all the things that they want in this world, but they lose their souls. And what shall a man gain if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What is the point of it all? Jesus says to us, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The blessed promise, a perfect provision. All these things, not some of them, but all these things shall be added unto you. God will supply all of our need when we put him first, when we are his servant. And the picture of the time when Jesus was saying these things was one which would be well known, because there were many servants and many bond slaves around in those days, particularly in Rome, in actual fact, but also in Israel. There were many who were servants and bond slaves. And what did it mean if you were a bond slave? Well, you belonged to your master. And your master would give you a place to sleep, give you a roof over your head, give you your meals. If you were sent on an errand, he would supply the funds. If you needed something in order to do that errand, he would give it to you. You would do the errand for him, but everything you had need of would be given to you. And if we are Christ's, it's the same thing. If the Lord has a work for us to do, he will supply the need, and it will be there, and we will be able to do it. But above all other things, we will have a peace in our heart, a joy in our soul, an eternal life. And when we reach that glory, we will find that we have a treasure there. A treasure which is as pristine as the day it was given to us. There is no moth, there is no rust, there is no thief which can touch it.
Do we give all that up so that we might have a few trinkets on this earth that devalue as soon as you have them, that give you nothing? And it is certain, as we brought nothing into this world, it is certain we will carry nothing out. Will you give your soul for what you can get here? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, our Saviour says. And again, there, a perfect provision, all these things, but a parental provider. Because Jesus says in that 32nd verse, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. Your heavenly Father knoweth. Now, if you are a father or a mother, for that matter, you will know that if you have a child and that child has a need, the child's need comes first. If your child needs new shoes because they're worn out or they've lost one, and you need new shoes, you will make do. You'll wear another pair of shoes, or you'll go to a second-hand shop and buy a second-hand pair of shoes, and you'll buy the child new shoes because you know that their feet are forming and they need to have shoes that fit properly. And you'll put them first. You'll make sure what they have, what they need. And so it is with the Lord. He is our Heavenly Father. He cares about us. And he watches over us, and he sees what needs we have, and he supplies those needs according to his riches in glory. We read together from Psalm 103. And in Psalm 103 we read in the 13th verse, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. It is our Heavenly Father. We might fear sometimes that God doesn't notice what we have need of, or God won't hear us when we need it. But it's not like that, because you know that your child doesn't know it needs new shoes. As far as it's concerned, it's got something to stick on its feet, that's good enough. He'll go out in mum's shoes, necessary, or in dad's shoes, or anything else he can find to put on his feet, or just go out without any at all. Doesn't know the difference. We care for them, we look after them. So it is with the Lord. Your Heavenly Father, Jesus says, knoweth that ye have need of all these things. It's not a surprise to him that you need to eat, and you need to drink, and you need to be clothed. God knows that. And the things which he calls you to do, that you can't do them yourself. But we are sinners. But when we have a need, he will supply it. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. How wonderful that the child of God has a Heavenly Father who supplies all of our need. Let us seek him then, that we might glorify him. Let us have a single eye, that the whole body shall be full of light. The toils of this world, not worth our effort. God will supply all of our need.